from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, an Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We opened up with the Mets and Yankees. You can go back to the Odyssey app and listen to that. And also throughout the morning with Jerry Recco talking a ton of baseball. If you want to talk to Mets and Yankees, we're here for you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Now, I am very confused about this whole $100 million podcast deal that the Kelce brothers got from Amazon. It's another one of these things that I can't understand how they make money on that, Amazon. Now, Amazon, do they need to make money on that? Is that just something they're just like, hey, we now have that Kelce brand as a part of the Amazon brand, and they're hot right now, and we don't care if we make up the cash on it? But there's no way, and Al's obviously pointing this stuff out all the time, but there's no way that they can sell the amount of advertising that they would need to on that podcast to make enough money for it to be worth it for them. There's no way. You cannot tell me they can do that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Travis Kelce. It's, you know, by extension, it's Taylor Swift. It's everything that you want. It's NFL. It's
telling
it's
me
pop
16-year-old
culture.
Swifties are listening to the Kelce brothers.
I don't know. I have no idea. All I can tell you is that they're all hitting it at the right time, at the right moment, with the right people and the right people who are having the money. You know, when you think about the media landscape, what's going on overall, the overarching, there's basically YouTube TV and Amazon, I think, have most of the money.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fubo is trying to protect itself. It's trying to acquire Paramount. I don't know whether or not Skydance is going to get Paramount, which includes us here at CBS. I have no idea. And if that sale does go through, the NFL has the right to reopen the contract with CBS.
Yeah.
And the NFL, if there's an opportunity to be had, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. I'm not sure they will. I hope they don't. But, you know, there's so much movement in the world of entertainment and just how it's being delivered, whether it's on social media, on the streaming platforms. Cable TV is dying as we're speaking. It is just basically, there's an upheaval that is still going on, and it's still trying to figure itself out.
Yeah, but just specifically, and I understand there's a lot of layers to all the entertainment business, but specifically this podcast space, like we listen to, Al and I listen to Theo Von, and Theo Von gets millions, he's one of the few podcasts that gets a lot of attention, just had Donald Trump on. I mean, even some of the ads that he's reading during this podcast are like for products that you know they're not spending a lot of money on. Be like, Theo Von here for the electric beer can opener. You ever just not want to open your own beer can? Well, the electric beer can opener, the EBO, is the way to go. And I'm like, what in the hell? I'm like, millions and millions and millions and millions of people listening to this, and that's the best they can do. So this is why I have these questions about the money that these guys getting paid in the advertising.
And they let you fast forward through commercials, which I don't understand either.
Right, you just go right through that.
Yeah.
Or hit the 15-second button.
We are like the last bastion, you know, of terrestrial radio, the way it's always been done. It will continue to be done this way as long as this medium survives. As you know.
Yeah, yeah, of course, which is a different conversation. I just, is the bubble, I guess, going to burst on those things? Like I can't see, like, there being lots of other podcasts that will now get those type of dollars given to them. Because there's only, like, a handful that really qualify for that. And even those, I can guarantee, aren't making that much money.
We often sit here and we talk about the behemoth that is the NFL. And we talk about the popularity that is the NFL, and you, on top of that, you have a player that is most likely, according to you, and this was like 2 years ago, is going to marry Taylor Swift.
It was last year.
Yeah. It was last year. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it makes their podcast even that much more interesting, and that many more listeners, I believe.
Okay,
but I do.
But that's not really the question. I know that people are going to listen to it. I know they got some decent numbers, but. They're not going to be able to sell the advertising for it to be worth it to them.
Is it better that Tom Brady gets $375 million to do what 20 or 22 football games?
Like he's like an ambassador and he has to shake a lot of hands and advertisers, and that's the way his worth is going to be.
I'm sure that's part of it. Yeah, it's part of.
I think both of them are ridiculous.
If you told me like, okay, this is why. I believe in week one, for the first time in I don't know how many years, maybe 4 or 5 years, I guess, CBS does not have a doubleheader. So that means the NFL said to Fox, you have the doubleheader in week one with Tom Brady, and you're going to have huge ratings, and you could sell this game as if it were a playoff game. Mm. And I would imagine the Fox sales team did exactly that. This is a premium buy. This is Tom Brady's first foray into it. And this is a way for them to start, you know, monetizing their contract with Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I also, like, where the numbers come up from, like, what is somebody worth in that situation is another one of those things that fascinates me. It's like, okay, like Amazon and all the billions upon billions of dollars that they're flowing every single day. Like, they're all of a sudden just like, this podcast to us is worth $100 million. Well, how the hell did you come up with that number? There's so many questions about this.
And how many podcasts do they have to do? What do they have to deliver? Do you know?
I'd have to look it up.
I mean, you know, we got to be here 5 days a week.
They probably got to do once a week.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
Once a week, just sit down and shoot the crap. Talk about, you know, pop culture. Have a few pops while you're doing it.
Yeah, no, I didn't see how much money she's getting, but the Hawk Tua girl just announced a podcast.
Hawk Tua! It's actually a very clever name, I have to admit. Talk Tua. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Hawk Tua, and this is Talk Tua.
You could talk to her.
You could talk to her. Hawk
you could
Tua.
Talk to her.
Yeah, see? That's what it is. So
How about if I did a podcast called Boomer Sports, like a play on Boomer, like for the older generation, not the new, you know, soft generation.
Yeah, I think Netflix just heard that. It says, let's give them $300 million for that.
You want to do it with me?
No.
No.
Okay. If you get $300 million, I'll do it, but I don't think that. But even like us, like Odyssey would have to be a part of that, right?
Ugh, why?
What was that?
I mean, I want to do something separate.
I don't think you
could. Why do I have to have, the animals around here breathing down my neck?
I don't think I could start a podcast without them being a part. I think that's sort of the way that it works.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, everybody else seems to be working for 50 different entities. Why can't we?
I don't have a good answer for that, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Like, there's the guy upstairs who works on the Karen Carson in the morning show, Johnny Mingione.
Yeah?
He's got a podcast, Mingione on the Phone, and he interviews people on the phone. Odyssey Podcast. Can't do that on his own.
No, he can't, but...
He can't do Mingione on the phone on his own. It's got to be Odyssey. Same thing with us, I think. Odyssey would have to be a part of that, right?
Ugh. I was saying, ugh, because I just didn't want people breathing down my neck.
And dipping into your funds.
Yeah, dipping into my funds, that's right. Or expecting me to show up somewhere.
Well, the problem, though, with this is the fact that, you know, this show isn't contained to just sports, as we know.
Yeah.
So, like, everything we really want to say, we say. You know, except
we just don't do it with the curses.
There's an occasional curse here or there. Yeah. So, like, that, but that's really it. So, like, people,
I mean, Nick,
like,
Saban cursed on, you know, College Game Day
weekend. Right, I know.
Who the hell does he think he is?
Brady in Newport Beach, California. But when people say, oh, you should do this podcast, you should do that podcast, What else am I going to say? I mean, I've got the very unique opportunity to do this show, which I'm not confined to sports. Any story I want to talk about, I can talk about.
And you have talked about.
Yes. I mean, some of the things we talked about today, Paduke, the burlesque show, like all these things, I can do it here, and thank God I can. But so it's one of those deals where it's like you got 4 hours, 5 days a week. What else do I have to say?
We have a few Casamigos in us, and we do a 7 o'clock, like the Ocho and Shannon.
All right, yeah.
Then you never know what's going to happen.
Podcasts, sure. That's different.
Yeah.
That's something we would not be able to do here. Let's go to Adam in Livingston. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, guys. Good morning. So, listen, I'm just listening, as I always do, and strangely curious, Boomer.
Yeah.
Like, can you give us a little inside baseball of what your Sunday, your first Sunday home away from CBS, what's it going to look like? What's your plan?
Well, first of all, I'm going to sleep in. Okay. That's the first thing, which I've done over vacation. I slept at least 10 hours almost every night.
Wow.
Which was amazing.
Wow.
So I get to sleep in on Sunday morning. I will watch the NFL today, the first week, and then I'll see how they do, and then I'll come in here and rip the crap out of them on Monday. No, I'm just kidding. I'll watch the guys. I'll send them all a text wishing them very good luck. I'll probably be teeing off around 9 o'clock. at least that's what I expect to do through September and October. And then I'll go watch some football either with maybe Matt and my grandkids there and Sid if she wants to watch, or go up to see Cassie and Gunner and Mika and watch with them a little bit. So I'll be moving around a little bit this year. Which
ready to
fun.
Start touching myself.
Yeah, okay.
Net too.
Yes.
More time for that.
Yeah.
So is that awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah thanks, go, man. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to enjoy life, man.
Yeah. I know we're playing, hopefully, on one of those Sunday mornings.
Yes.
Couple of weeks.
Well, the interesting thing is that, you know, I'll still do the Mike Valenti and me. We'll still do our thing that we do on Fridays here.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I'm done with that, I got no conference calls. I may have an appearance here or there that I'll end up doing for FanDuel during the year.
Yeah, plenty of time to do stuff like call into the afternoon show if they need you.
Nah, they're not going to need me.
Oh. Yeah,
they don't need. They got four voices on that show.
They do have a lot of voices.
Well, you have more time to do the Odyssey Sports Station's radio tour.
Yeah,
do that as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
Odyssey would have to be a part of that, right?
Ugh.
That natural reaction from you was just unbelievable. Yeah. Well,
I was back for one day, man, and I had a crowd in the office the other day.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't get out of here till after 11 yesterday with all the people swarming.
Hey, I'm screaming out of here today. I got an 11:48 tee time.
Nice.
So I can tell you.
Yeah, I got a long, long day of fun today. Long day of golf, gambling, fantasy football, eating, drinking, the whole thing.
I'll tell you what, with the Mets going for a sweep, man, who would have thought that, honestly? Who would have thought that? There's no way.
Sometimes I just don't understand you.
I know you don't.
I just don't. don't understand.
I know.
How Mets just popped out.
I don't know. I was just thinking, today's going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day.
It's a great day. That's what I'm talking about.
Now it makes sense. All right. I got it now. You just talk about the fully encompassing, we got beautiful weather, and the Mets are going for a sweep. I got it now. All right.
Okay. And here we are in September, and who would have thought that?
Who would have thunk it?
Right.
The Mets, 11 games over 500. Not I. I will admit that I was wrong about them, at least up until this point. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back with us. Got another update and moment of the day. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. The Mets have been a red-hot baseball team of late. That continued last night, but it wasn't easy. Taking on the Red Sox, Boston with a rally in the late innings. Bases loaded, tying run on board. And yet they were able to wiggle their way out.
Garrett. Sets around the letters, checks the runners, the 1-1. Swinging a bouncing ball towards second. Charged by Iglesias, has it to second. One, Lindor to first, double play! 4-6-3.
And that preserved the lead at the time.
You
and
know
then
I just thought of, Jerry? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought of. So remember it was a big deal, the Mets record after Grimace throwing out the first pitch?
Yes.
The Mets record after Hawk Tua throwing out the first pitch has got to be pretty good too. Right? Has to be.
They were pretty mediocre for a while. This is like the last week and a half. Because prior to that, I think they were a very 500 team. But given the fact they've won 6 straight, 7 of 8, and it's like 9 of 12 or 3rd maybe.
It was August 16th.
Okay, so I would think they probably had a mediocre week and then it started. It really started with the series with Baltimore.
Well, they lost that game.
Okay.
That she threw out the first pitch.
Right. All right.
You said August 16th. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Then what happened?
I'll find out in a second.
It was such a big deal. And, you know,
Grimace, no, I remember.
Grimace was the reason.
Well, I remember.
If the Mets make the playoffs, you bring her back.
Well,
you're such a jackass.
No, it was August 15th she threw it out.
I think they...
How about her and Grimace have a moment?
Wasn't it August 15th they threw it out against the A's?
I'm reading articles from the 16th.
Right, so it was the 15th against the A's. They lost that game to the A's. 7-6.
Right.
Then they beat Miami 2 out of 3.
Okay. So 2-1. They lost the game after she threw the first pitch.
All right. Then they beat Baltimore 2 out of 3.
Well, that's really where the run started.
Right. And then they split with San Diego.
Yeah,
they
Arizona.
Won 2 out of 3 with Arizona. Won 3 in a row against Chicago and 2 in a row against Boston.
All right, bring her back.
Yeah. I think you do a combo, Hawk to a Grimace, and get the two catchers out there. Huh?
Well, huh? And oh my God.
And oh my God.
And get the rally pin.
And the rally pin.
Oh my
pin.
God.
And the gay Mets, too.
What a weird season this has been.
The gay Mets.
You say it out loud than me, man. It's so much better.
Why?
Win me 82 games, gay Mets.
83,
yes.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, that would be, you bring out that misfit caravan.
Yes.
That'd be something else.
Well, they do multiple first pitches, so yeah. Why not use them all?
Right, like the time that Peter Schwartz threw out the first pitch at the Lakewood Blue Claws game. He was number 15.
And Somerset.
Somerset, too. Yeah, Somerset Patriots. Yeah, it was the 15th guy to throw out the first pitch.
And Long Island Ducks.
Yeah, did he throw out the pitch there?
I thought he did. I thought he threw out the first pitch, then announced. It was like the PA announcer, I thought.
No, I think he sang Take Me Out to the Ball
Game. Oh, that disaster.
Oh, that was for women's softball, though.
Right, that was the Long Island Ducks. Right. Yes. And yeah, he was all off key. It wasn't his fault, but yes.
All right, so you want Rally Pimp, Grimace, Hawk Tua, Iglesias for Oh My God. And
the gay Mets.
And some representative of the gay Mets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jerry brought it up, yes.
Well, they bring back the jersey.
Yeah, the gay Mets was really just the pride colors in the Met logo. So that could just be out there while the other first pitches are going on.
I'm sure that Mr. Met or Mrs. Met had some sort of pride logo stuff on during that month. So you just get them to represent that month. Of June. And then, I mean, if they make the playoffs,
then what do we do?
Imagine all of them out there, like they're winning the World Series.
Put them all in a suite for every home game? I mean, really?
Keep them around.
I guess so.
Look up at the box. Grimace and Hawk Tua getting it on.
Oh, my God.
Where is that thing?
Yeah, right. I can't spit on that thing because I can't find that thing. Oh, my God.
Spit on that thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the Mets.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yet they're winning games.
They are.
With this happening. So it played, all right, this double play ball was a big one. And then the next half inning.
Pitch, swing on a liner in the air to left. Back goes Abreu. It's going to be over his head. Goes to the wall. McNeil around third will score easily. Alvarez stops at third, but the throw in gets away from the cutoff man and winds up behind the mound. Alvarez nonetheless stays at third, and Lindor is at second with a double and a run batted in. He has done it again.
And again and again.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
On Odyssey Mets Radio, yes. 7-2 would be the final score as Pete Alonso would cap the scoring with a big home run to dead center field. Mets move to 11 games over 500, 75-64 with the win. Here was Lindor and SNY just trying to do what I do.
Whether it's on defense or base running or hitting, I feel the smiles on my face because that's ultimately what I came to New York to do, and that's win baseball games.
And they're winning a lot of games right now. Here was Alonso and what he has been doing, meaning Lindor.
I mean, he's absolutely scorching right now. It's really special watching him play, and he's really, really, really doing it right now. He's really important for our club.
Yep, had the MVP chance going again last night at Citi Field. They've won 6 in a row, 7 of 8. Before the game, you had David Stearns talking about Lindor.
It's been an unbelievable season to watch. We're getting to the point, I think, where we're talking about perhaps the greatest individual position player season in the history of this franchise.
And I know he's got the 14-game hitting streak, but I believe it's a 32-game on-base streak, too. So he's been active even on days where he's not hitting the ball and has been on the bases. The Mets remaining a half game behind Atlanta. The Braves shut out the Rockies 3-0. I believe just three games behind Arizona now as well. So that comes into play all that with their win. They'll go for the series sweep tonight with Tyler McGill making the start at 7:10 p.m. What's that? Oh, McGill?
Yeah.
No, he gave you a decent start last time, but this could be a little different.
Yes.
It could be a little different. As for the Yankees, there's really just one highlight to play.
Bases full, bottom of the ninth, one out, 4-3 Yankees. And the pitch. Swing and a deep shot into left field. Verdugo watching it go into the stands for a home run.
Yeah.
Walk-off grand slam, Wyatt Langford.
Yes, exactly right. Justin Shackle with the call right here on The Fan. A 4-1 lead evaporates as the Yankees lose in crushing fashion with that grand slam, 7-4 in Arlington. Here was Clay Holmes. He blew his 11th save, biggest or most in majors with that loss last night as he threw 25 pitches. Only 12 went for strikes, and he walked a couple of guys.
I mean, yeah, I lost the feel for the sinker. Spin was just leaving it up. I think I was just getting a little too quick, and I think the command went with that.
And all you can do, as he says, is go back out there when called upon.
Yeah, you know, we got to show up every day preparing to win, and I think, you know, we got to come with that mindset every single day. Like, you know, today's the most important day, and take care of business today. So, yeah, I mean, this one hurts, but I mean, I'll be better and we'll bounce back and we'll get him tomorrow.
And right now is what they have. Just one quick 5 seconds from Aaron Boone on Holmes.
He's really important to us down there. And we need his excellence to be part of the group down there. So.
Yeah, for them to win. And then there was Jazz Chisholm, who was asked about the blow up in the bullpen meeting with Holmes. And he says he'll be all right.
Until I was here, I was facing Clay, and I thought Clay is one of the dirtiest pitchers in the league. He has really nice stuff, and I just feel like sometimes you go through those rough stretches, you know what I mean? Tough innings, tough games. We all go through them. Everybody has their kind of slump. So.
Yeah, and he is having one for sure. 11 blown saves
on the
season. I mean,
think about the 11 blown saves. Let's say it's 7 blown saves.
Yeah, then you have a 4-game lead atop the division.
I mean, you know, it comes down to one inning or one 4-out save. I don't know how many of those were in that, but it's so frustrating, you know. And I'm sure it's frustrating for him. It's frustrating for the fans. But the manager really has nowhere else. He has some place to turn, I guess. I guess he can relieve some of the pressure and then hope that he finds his game again.
Right. Well, Carlos Rodon has found his. He went 6 innings, 1 run ball, 11 strikeouts. Nothing to show for it. Marcus Stroman, Nate Eovaldi later tonight on The Fan at 7:25. Yankees now a half game behind the Orioles for first place. The O's beat the White Sox 9-0. And I wanted to get, man, I had Ozzie Guillen, and I just recorded a little while ago talking about the umpiring Major League Baseball. Save it for tomorrow because he did this on the post-game show last night after a 9-0 loss. Just one quick one from Anaheim where the Dodgers beat the Angels. Yes, Shohei Ohtani had an RBI triple. Mookie Betts the home run. But this 23-year-old Ben Joyce continues to turn heads.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. It was 105.5 miles an hour.
No way.
Oh, yes way. That was Wayne Randazzo on Spectrum Sports in
Is
L.A.
Is that the fastest pitch in Major League Baseball history?
I don't know about that, but it is this season. I think he broke his own record from this season. That's a great question. I don't know. No, didn't Aroldis Chapman throw 106 earlier this season?
Wow, really?
Al?
Still?
Yes.
I'm Googling that.
I think for the Pirates, about 2 weeks ago, Chapman hit 106.
He hit 105.8 officially.
All right, that was 105.5 last night.
Okay, so.
So Chapman still has it. God knows, was he 30? 530 has
still
to be.
Throwing gas, babe.
Well, this was his 105.8 was in 2010.
Oh, okay. I meant this season, a couple of weeks ago, Aroldis Chapman threw one that I thought was like that. But
so that is the all-time fastest pitch in baseball?
Correct.
Since they obviously were timing him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what it was? August 7th, Chapman hit 105.1. That's what I was thinking of. So, yeah, the 105.5 I would think is probably the fastest this season because you would see it or hear it otherwise. So anyhow, the Dodgers did wind up winning that game in 10 innings. All right, we get to the football. Brian Daboll, you're taking on the Vikings on Sunday. You call in plays. That seems to have been the trend and the thought all along, but you haven't said it yet.
Yeah, like I said before, we're getting ready to play the Vikings. We've talked about that. We'll do everything we do to get ready to play.
You never really talked about it, though. You never said if you're definitely doing it or not. Or you
can't. Yeah, I'm doing it.
All right, so there you have it. The Jets, meantime, agreed to a three-year extension with Michael Carter, $31 million. Hassan Reddick was at a charity event yesterday at a local school, I think in Jersey City. Reporters were there. He didn't say anything to them. Rob Sala, are you disappointed that Reddick still hasn't reported or signed or whatever to get him here?
There's no disappointment. It's, you know, you've got your roster. You've got the guys who are here, and those are the guys you focus on, you know, and you know, hopefully eventually he does get here. And when he gets here, like I said, we're going to embrace him. We're going to love him. We're going to do everything we can to put him in
position
to be successful.
Yeah.
Reddick changed his mind after the trade and tried to pull like what a lot of guys do. And I was thinking about Davante Adams. I'm wondering if there's any other speculation other than mine that Davante Adams needs to be traded. I think I've seen it out there a little bit, but I'm just wondering. When they start going down that path with a player of Davante Adams' stature and his abilities and his future Hall of Fame credentials, whether or not he says, look, I don't want to be here, but if I'm going to be traded, I need my contract to be redone. You know, that kind of thing. And I think this is what Hassan Reddick, I don't think he initially meant to do that, but I think he changed his mind. Somewhere along the line, somebody got to him or an agent told him, this is what we got to do. I mean, he's losing so much money right now. And he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
And he has no other recourse other than to show up. It's unfortunate. I'm rooting for him. I want him to get paid. But he has no other choice but to show up and play. Or he reverts back to his contract next year.
And the same old thing again.
Yes.
And he's still property of the Jets, yes?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The Jets do open up in San Francisco on Monday night. Tomorrow night, you got the Ravens and the Chiefs. Here's Lamar Jackson on the relationship he has or doesn't have with Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think I have a relationship with any quarterback in the league. I don't take anything from him. You know, I just play my game, but he's a great quarterback. I'm going to say that. He's a great quarterback.
And a quarterback that won a playoff game in Baltimore last year. So is this type of...
That makes me sad.
What's this?
I mean, my guy, we were all friends.
Oh.
I mean, we liked each other, and we wanted to compete against each other.
Yeah.
You know?
You liked everybody.
Loved Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, Warren Moon.
Yeah.
You even formed Bertie a business Kozar. Together.
What?
You even had a business together.
Yeah, we all did. We all kind of came together as one, and it was fun hanging out with the guys. I mean, we all liked each other, I think. Maybe some guys hated me. I don't know.
Well, it's a little different these days because they're all big corporations, essentially. Trent Williams did sign his restructured three-year deal with the Niners. The Steelers gave Cam Hayward a three-year deal, $45 million there. And then women's quarterfinals at the U.S. Open today. You got American Jessica Pegula playing Iga Swiatek at 7 p.m. Wins Tuesday for Americans Emma Navarro, Frances Tiafoe, and Taylor Fritz. And with that, we get to Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Anejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
Yeah!
All right, so a couple of choices here. We'll go with Greg reliving his Kay Adams interaction from Super Bowl week in Arizona when she pointed out the tequila logo on his sweatshirt, and then it went in this direction.
This is where the logo was.
Yeah.
So her show was sponsored by a different tequila. And I was wearing the Casamigos,
Casamigos sweatshirt.
Okay, and she goes, you can't wear that around here. And puts her hand on the logo. And they went, frrn, frrn. And I went, ooh. And I was not going to say anything.
You got aroused.
I was with her. No, I mean, it was humiliating. It was humiliating.
You get aroused.
No way. No. It was like, it just totally emasculating. And I wasn't going to say anything. And then I walked away with my buddy who was there who introduced me to her because they worked on FanDuel TV. He looks at me and goes, man, she really went for it, huh? I was like, yeah. I said, you saw that? He's like, oh, yeah. Full-blown squeeze. It was very interesting.
I will say, working with her last week, you know, there hasn't been a lot of time. I've done her show a couple times. Mm-hmm. But in person, she's stunning. Stunning.
Yeah. And imagine Daniel Jones arguing with his girlfriend. Can you picture that? You can't, right?
What do you mean?
I can't picture him arguing with a woman. I haven't seen any personality from that guy at all, any anger or nothing. Like, I couldn't.
He's reserved.
Like, Kay Adams going, Dan, you left the toilet seat up again.
Bull.
And that comes from the rumor that they were seeing each other, which I think she dispelled yesterday, but still.
Did she dispel? I don't know.
I feel like the way she was talking, it seemed like it was a little bit sarcastic.
Mm.
But then again, who knows? Maybe they're together.
Yeah. Matt, she works out in L.A., and he plays here in New York. I mean, you know.
Oh, she does that show in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh.
I thought she was here. I didn't realize.
She was here last week, but I think they shoot that show in L.A.
Okay. Well, you can still get out there, and you make $40 million a year. That's true. Get a private jet. Blow out there, you know, a little dippity do and come back. You know, he's got that type of scrodule. No?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. Right. Yeah.
Make it sure. All right, Jerry, we'll see you tomorrow.
Right on.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
You know, you're talking about Trent Williams and how important he is to the San Francisco 49ers and him ending his holdout, and we are assuming he's going to play on Monday night against the Jets. In relation to how important Trent Williams is to the 49ers in that offensive line, where do you put Hassan Reddick being on this team and ending his holdout and getting out there? Because I got to be honest with you, as good as his defense is right now, I don't feel, and I know how good he's been. Don't get me wrong. I'm not in the dark.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him in the Jet uniform.
We haven't seen him in
the
Jet uniform.
He's an Eagle. Like, I know Mark Canizaro writes an article today about how important it is for Joe Douglas to get this fixed. I mean, you know, number one, Joe Douglas worked in Philadelphia. He knows Howie Roseman. There's no way that Howie Roseman would have sent him to Joe Douglas without Joe Douglas getting the assurances that, you know, he's not looking for a new contract. You don't do business that way in the NFL. You don't last very long. And if you are respected, which I do believe both men are in their respective spots, Howie and, of course, Joe here, that there was an understanding that Hassan Reddick was going to be traded and that he was going to come here and he was going to play out his contract. And instead, now all of a sudden, Hassan Reddick decides to change his mind in the middle of all this. And again, like I said, I am always for the player to get the money because I don't trust anybody in the NFL when it comes to paying these guys' contracts. But he is 29 years old. He's not been developed as a Jet. You know, he's not Sauce Gardner. He's not Garrett Wilson. He's not, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker. He's not one of the guys that the Jets drafted and developed. He's coming from another team. So, like, this is not the same situation as Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams. These are all guys that the 49ers had and went to the Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
So I don't like... Like, part of me says the Jets don't owe Hassan Reddick anything. Like, he should just show up and play. I mean, that he got traded. He's working under a certain collective bargaining agreement that some guys just don't want to adhere to. And I understand why, because it's frustrating for them. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to be lame duck. You know, Mike McCarthy is a lame duck coach in Dallas right now.
You think he's done after this year, no matter what?
If they don't go deep in the playoffs, yes.
100%. Well, I shouldn't say no matter what. So you're talking like they got to get to the NFC Championship game.
I feel like they would have to get to the NFC Championship game. And so, I think it's going to take a lot because I think there's a lot of good teams in the NFC. And I think there are better teams than the Cowboys.
Of all the holdouts this year, Hassan Reddick's the only one that is starting his first year with a new team, correct?
Yes, I feel like that's the case. Like Matt Judon was a holdout.
Yeah.
Or hold in with the New England Patriots. But the Patriots knew that he was 30 years old. He's coming off a pectoral muscle. He wanted a new contract. And they said, you know what? We're going to move on. We don't need this in a locker room where we're trying to rebuild the team. We don't need a disgruntled veteran who had been a team leader, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's trade him to Atlanta. But Atlanta, I'm sure, got assurances from Judon and his agent. Look, man, we're looking to bring him in here to play right now. And if he's good for us and he's great for us, then we'll consider a new contract. We're not trading for an unhappy Judon to bring him here to be unhappy and not have a contract.
So if you think about, you know, CeeDee Lamb,
so it's kind of
Trent Williams, well, like Brandon Ayuk.
Atlanta just did the same thing that the Jets did, but the Jets did it earlier than Atlanta did.
Yeah, but they also knew that Judon was wanted to get paid,
but the Jets did not. Yeah, but the thing about it is, I'm sure New England went to Matt Judon and said, look, we have a trade for you.
Yeah.
Here are the two teams or three teams. Where would you like to go? We want to at least help you go where you want to go. And he said, well, I'll go to Atlanta. But they need an assurance that you're going to show up and play, that you're not going to like try to hold out for a contract.
Right.
And Atlanta, I believe, got that assurance. So they made the trade. And I do believe the Jets had that assurance also. And then all of a sudden, Hassan Reddick changed his mind.
Yeah.
That's what I believe happened.
And it's really, as you
and it's not on Joe Douglas. I mean, Joe Douglas was thinking that he was making his team better by getting a guy that was a three down player at a position that they felt like they didn't have one.
Yeah, do you think, though, it's a little bit curious that he wouldn't want a new contract? We talk about this stuff all the time. This guy's going to want a new deal. He's going to want a new deal. He's going to want a new deal. So if you're Joe Douglas, you're like, man, we're really going to get this guy? He's not going to want a contract?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that's, again, I can't say it enough. I'm for the players, but I understand that they play underneath a CBA that, you know, that their union has negotiated for them. And some of the guys try to break, you know, the teams down. And like the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase are a great example. This happened with Justin Jefferson and the Vikings last year, because Ja'Marr Chase is right where Justin Jefferson was last year. Mm-hmm. He's in the fourth year of his deal. The Bengals have him this year and next year as they picked up his fifth-year option, and he's guaranteed that fifth-year option next year, which will be north of $20 million. So the Bengals don't really have any incentive to do the contract right now, much like the Vikings didn't have any incentive to do the contract last year. Same thing with the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk, and the same thing with CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys. Those guys are entering into their fifth years. Ja'Marr's entering into his fourth year. So the teams can negotiate, but the only way the Bengals are going to do this, and they very rarely ever do this, is if they know that they can save money somewhere else along the line of the contract. So in other words, I don't see Ja'Marr Chase getting one penny more than Justin Jefferson 1 year earlier than Justin Jefferson got his contract.
And he's not going to not play week one, Ja'Marr Chase, right?
Another one. He has to play. You know, yeah. He's got to play. He's got to get this year out of the way. And, you know, and maybe the Bengals will do it in the middle of the season. I don't know. I mean, they've done some things like that before, but they're one of these teams that holds pretty fast without, you know, jumping the gun, unless they know they feel like they got somebody where they can save some money and buy out the guy earlier.
I know it's tricky to figure these things out, but another thing that's hard for these general managers, they don't know what the cap's going to look like year to year. They know it's going to go up.
Well, they know it's going up.
But they just don't know how much.
Right. And as we saw with Joe Shane in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Off season.
And apparently, there was a headline I saw this morning. I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it. But so Joe Shane, I guess, in the current Hard Knocks, I didn't see this, but he said to the GM
Ryan
of Chicago,
Poles.
Ryan Poles, he said to him, man, it's got to be great to not have to worry about the quarterback position for a very long time. And like, people are like, oh, it's another knock on Daniel Jones. I mean,
he just drafted
the number one guy overall and won a Heisman. It's like,
I'll tell you what, you know, Cincinnati could say the same thing that maybe the Giants are saying about Daniel Jones, because, you know, Joe Burrow's played 4 years, and two of those 4 years he hasn't made it through the season.
Yeah.
But the other 2 years he's won two championship games, and in one of those years he went to a Super Bowl. So it'd be nice to keep him upright for 17 games and then see really how good they are.
Right, I know.
And yet the other thing, too, about the Bengals, you forget, is they have T. Higgins, and he's playing on the franchise tag. So he's like at $21 million as the other receiver in that group. So I think, in my mind, the way I see the Bengals seeing this, okay, they're paying T. Higgins $21 million. They want Ja'Marr to play under the current contract right now, and then they'll redo him next year. And if he has a superstar year, he'll get paid more than Justin Jefferson next year. And by the way, when you look at like the Patriots and you look at their salary cap, I mean, they don't have a receiver making over, I think, $3 million.
I mean, do they have a player on that team that makes over $3 million, period?
They have a couple guys at the top, but nobody on that team, I want to say, makes more than $14 million in terms of average annual value, I believe.
They are going to be terrible. They really are.
I mean, their defense is going to be solid. Their offense has very no playmakers and a very questionable.
Jets better beat them
line.
Twice. No questions asked. Now's the time. No questions asked.
Well, I mean, the Bengals got them opening day in Cincinnati. If the Bengals don't throw up 35, 40 points,
yeah.
Hopefully Jamar Chase is playing. He should be, but he's doing one of these hold-in things.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.